As we look to the scriptures for a few moments tonight before we head to our classes, I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 20. And this is the account of a discussion between Jesus and his disciples about greatness and the desire on the part of the sons of Zebedee's mother coming and requesting, as she does, something concerning Jesus and what he might give to her sons. So there it says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' She said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' They said to him, 'We are able.' So he said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father.' And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" This attitude of heart and disposition is not, it's not something that is rare, certainly in our day and time, where people seek recognition, may seek greatness, may seek a position of power or authority. But it's something that, as Christians, we need to have in the right perspective. Greatness is something that we should look at through God's eyes and to see it for what it truly is. Because seeking the greatness that the world often seeks will put us at odds with the mindset that God wants us to have, which is a humble mindset, and a mindset that esteems others as better than self, according to what Paul says in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Instead, we are to have the heart of a servant. We're to look at people around us and say, "How can I serve you?" That's to be our mindset. So that's to be how we think toward our neighbors, toward our co-workers, people that we go to school with, family, friends, toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. How can we serve the people around us? Well, what are their needs? They may have, in times of trouble, physical needs that may arise, and we are quick to meet those needs. We recognize when someone doesn't have enough to eat, or someone is going through a great struggle, and maybe they've lost their home, some disaster, so they may need the basics, food, clothing, and shelter. And we will step in and help. But there are more pressing needs that people have, because every single person is one day closer to death. And it doesn't matter if they're young or if they're old, because death comes to all and can come unexpectedly to those who think they may have much more time in their future. Are we thinking about the souls that are lost in sin? And are we looking at those around us with a desire to serve them in the manner in which Jesus has commissioned us? At the end of this very book, of course, we have what is called the Great Commission in chapter 28, and where Jesus urges his followers to go and do what? Make disciples of all the nations. That means make disciples, followers of me from every ethnic group throughout the world. We live among people in this country, certainly, that are of every ethnic group. This land has been called a melting pot. But certainly, we know that there are people every day that we come into contact with, whether or not they are from some other place doesn't really matter. We know that they are separated from God. And there's a place that they need to be, and that's close to Him and within His family. And we know from Scripture there are certain things that they must do, must believe, and they must turn from in order for that to become a reality for them. But Jesus here touches on, in this section of Scripture, the mindset of a servant that we are to have. We're not to seek our own, and we're not to seek our exaltation, but rather we are to seek the welfare of other people, and it should be our desire that they be exalted in the eyes of God. How can that happen? Through their obedience to the gospel. When their sins are washed free and clear and they become part of the family of God, we need to have the mindset of Christ, who Himself was one who lowered Himself willingly and came, as He says in verse 28, to serve instead of being served, and to give His life a ransom for many. Are we willing to give our lives for other people? Well, probably none of us have been put to that test. But are we willing to sacrifice our time? Are we willing to spend much time, day in, day out, studying the Word so that we are able to give an answer to those who ask us concerning our beliefs, concerning what must I do to be saved, so that we will be able, when we hear false teaching and ideas contrary to the truth, give an answer and oppose that false way and defend the truth, contend earnestly for the faith? All of these things involve sacrifice. And if we are willing to have the mindset of Christ, to be humble servants, then we will be willing to do whatever it takes to make ourselves the best servants we can be in the service of our Lord and for the well-being of our fellow man on this earth. Think about your week, the remainder of it, and how you can serve those about you. And make that a pattern for the rest of your life, because the servant is the one that God exalts greatly and will glorify, the one that will reign with Christ forever one day. Are you a Christian yet tonight? Have your sins been washed in the blood of Jesus? If not, the steps that lead to salvation are clearly set forth in God's Word, beginning with faith, the belief that Jesus is God's Son, a determination not to live for self any longer, but to live instead for God, rejecting selfishness, rejecting the doing of that which pleases me, and instead living the rest of my life to please God. That's the penitent heart that reforms the ways that we live. There's also the confession of our faith, the acknowledgement. And you know, of course, that when you become a Christian, that you make that confession, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but it continues throughout life. Every day your life can be a confession or a denial of Christ based on your actions. They either say, Jesus is Lord of my life, or I do my own thing. That's what our lives will say by what we do. And of course, there's the act of baptism. And this is a stumbling block for many in the world today because they reject the truth that it is essential to salvation. But it is. And so we must, as Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, will be saved. Right? And that's exactly what we want to do. If you're here tonight and need to obey the gospel, we can help you to follow these steps. If a Christian already, are you living faithfully? Does your life demonstrate a commitment to the Lord, unwavering? If you need to come home, if you need to get sin right in your life and turn from it, we can help you with that as we stand and as we sing.